This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program is content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Hey, miss a mention. Ask yourself this question. Who do say who know a done man? And I know run the program. Tell me, have you ever sat to think what make a girl cheat? Have you ever asked her if she like how you do it? You need to check yourself before you start kiss your teeth. You're not ready for this yet, boy. Have you ever wondered what make a girl come? A woman must be satisfied before you say you're done. You can't say a thing if you end up again fun. You're not ready for this yet, boy. And you're a little fool, I say I rule the world. And with my bum scary and I sleep over girl. Get your act together before you look another girl. You're not ready for this yet, boy. Did you even realize a woman have mood? You have been off a younger little girl on one road. That's why you need a man to eat bully pound of food. Cause you're not ready for this.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Every Tuesday, I don't know if it's just my aura or is it the energy that I bring, but on a Tuesday, the atmosphere changes, the weather, the environment, it's something different. Now, this morning when I went into Starbucks, I ran into a very, very handsome young man. His name is Christian. And he says, hey, I listened to you. I didn't say anything to him. I was ordering my Starbucks and he said, I recognize your voice and I listened to your show. Christian, thank you so much for listening. Very handsome young man. Thank you so much for listening. But this evening, we want to bring you another exciting edition of Kenny's Corner here on Guardian Radio 96.9. As always, thank you for choosing and spending a part of your evening with me. Each week, we bring you a conversation that informs, inspires, and empowers. Tonight is no exception. We are joined with a distinguished public servant, community advocate, the leader. She is a leader in her community and continues to make her mark nationally, developing and publicizing everything for policy for the government. Politics is often described as an art of service, but behind every elected and appointed official is a personal story, a journey filled with challenges, opportunities, sacrifice, and the desire to make a difference. Tonight, we'll explore the journey that our special guest, joining us, Honorable Senator D'Asante H. Small. She is coming. She's here with us. She's going to bring us everything that we need to learn about her. And we'll be discussing her path into politics, what inspired her to serve, the lessons she has learned along the way, and her vision for the future of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Whether you're a young person considering a career in leadership, someone interested in public service, or simply curious about the people who help shape our nation, this conversation is for you. So settle in, turn up the volume, and be a part of the discussion. If you're listening via Facebook on the live feed, feel free to share your comments, questions, and anything you want to ask Honorable Senator. Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Within the sound of my voice, I am Kendenik Delavaux, and you're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9, fresh news, smart talk, all day. Good evening, Senator.
Good evening. Thank you so much, Kenny, for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation today.
D'Asante, it's a pleasure to have you here. In public, they just know that you're D'Asante, you're an AKA, you're Corey's wife, you're a senator, but there's so much more behind what they see. Now, I want to dive right into who you are. Introduce yourself to my listening audience, please.
Thank you so much. So I would like to say that I'm your friend. Yes. We share a lot of passions, even though we can't seem to get on the same page, whether it's Junkanoo, church, even sorority like me. You know, we always on the different side, but yeah. We do share in our love for the country. We yes. love a good conversation. But for me, beyond those titles, I am proud of being who I am as a friend, as a sister, as a daughter. I am the Deputy Director of Communications at the Public Hospitals Authority. I am almost a 20-year member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. So I'm always busy doing community work. I was raised as an Anglican at the St. Barnabas Church. I know, watch your eyes, right? but honestly and truly, beyond those things, I am just someone that's always very passionate about young people, advocating for women, and making sure that everywhere that I go and as I take up space, I make room for others. And that's very important to who I am and the way that I move. And as I continue to elevate, I want to ensure that I'm elevating others.
Now, Diasante, say this to you when you mentioned PHA, because there was a time and space where I called you and I had gotten your number from Minister Honorable Leslie Miller Bryce, and my mom was in the hospital. We had moved her from Doctor's Hospital because we almost exhausted the insurance, and we needed to move her to private female surgical at Princess Margaret Hospital. And Diasante, you handled me with kid gloves. You made sure that my mom was comfortable, and I will never, ever forget that. My mom is gone now. And I want to say thank you very much for what you did for my family and for me. I could never forget what you did. And anything that you need from me, it is done. I truly appreciate you. Thank you very, very much for that.
I appreciate you, Kenny. Love you.
Diasante, you are an Anglican. I don't know.
The mass is almost the same, Kenny. We fine.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we can leave that. And then use a valley too.
Oh, yeah. One and two.
Where KG?
He right there.
Tell my friend I say hi.
Yeah.
Okay.
He almost as big as a valley as his BLB, but,
Almost. Now, Dia, when it comes up to how you became involved and engrossed into nationalism, your grandmother played a very, very pivotal role in that. Like, your Grammy is your Grammy. Like, she was everybody Grammy.
Yeah.
Dia, tell us how your Grammy molded your transformation into the stellar mogul, the politician, the person that you are today, your fiber.
Yes. So my grandmother, Daphne Arabella Glinton Lang. So I grew up, and now being, you know, in everything that I'm in now, we didn't know back then. But it was a big deal for her to be an entrepreneur. So all my life, I only know my Grammy to work for herself. We have a family business my whole life. Her father would have created that business along with her mother. And so she always had this level of tenacity, discipline. She was very focused, very family oriented. Everything that she did was about her legacy, her children and their children. And so the way that we maneuvered as a family was always different. And the conversations looked different because it meant that I grew up with the privilege of having a sense of ownership from day one. I understood that I could own something. I could be whatever I wanted to be. So when people would ask me, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? I never hesitated. Whatever that was, I knew that I could be that. When it came to politics, really and truly, I grew up knowing that our family was PLB. You couldn't be nothing else, right? But more than that, it wasn't just, okay, you support the party, you show the sign, you wear the colors. What she made sure was is that we were able to, one, understand our history. She made sure to tell the stories around the table, but we also were allowed to ask questions, to question things. We would grab the newspaper and see what's on the headline, and she would ask me how I felt about this, and she welcomed me having an opinion. So I think for me, in those younger days, my grandmother, if she did nothing else, is that she allowed me to have a voice, to own that voice, and to be proud of it every day of my life.
I only know about your grandmother through the conversations that my grandmother would have with my dad. Right? And so everybody knew Bar 20 Corner. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew you get the conch salad and the little plastic cup. Remember, you used to be the small ones back then?
Yep.
So your Grammy is a staple. Mm-hmm. There's no who your grandmother was, right? Now, when it came to your moral compass, right, Dia? Senator, I'm sorry. When it comes to your moral compass and what you think is ingrained in politics for a woman, what is your platform going to be like for you?
So from December, because this would be now my second time being reinstated, in a very short window, I communicated a lot of my priorities, that being mental health, advocating for women, advocating for young people. But mental health is the one that really stuck out to a lot of people. I've worked with the Silence Rehabilitation Center through my work for the past 4.5 years, but it's deeper than that for me. I've lost a really good friend to suicide. I've had friends who've battled postpartum depression, bipolar, who's dealt with other mental health challenges. And so it's become a normal conversation. And so for me, I want to make sure that wherever I am, I'm, first of all, a voice that says it's okay. It's okay to get help. It's okay to access these resources. It's also okay just to say I'm not okay. But additionally, that is that ensuring that I'm advocating for more. So in my work, one of those priorities, especially when we were developing the Blueprint for Progress, was the advocacy for National Hotline for Suicide Prevention. There's a lot of energy. It's very evident with our headlines, even in the past few days, that people need to have access to resources to say, hey, I need help and I need it now.
Recently in the headlines was the 41-year-old woman that took her life. And I think for a lot of us as women, we don't necessarily understand for the general public. They don't know what we go through on a regular basis. And I will use myself as an example, right? So there's grief that I take with me every single day. And then today I'm preparing for my daughter's graduation for her tomorrow. And so you have to get her to the beauty salon, pick her up from school, finish whatever work or whatever clients it is that you have, manage her personality. Then there's this thing with the sash, and they don't know what color sash they're going to get. So everybody's on edge. And then she's going through her own set of emotions. I'm going through my emotions. I went to the graveyard this morning after I dropped her to school just to go to say to my mom, Mommy, listen, tomorrow is graduation for Nai, at least the church portion at St. Francis. And to go and to revisit St. Francis tomorrow, remembering that that was the last place I saw my mom before we closed the casket, you carry a lot of things around and you don't know. You just, it's so important to be kind to people because you don't know what they're carrying. And some people say that maybe suicide is the easy way out, but you don't know. You don't know. You just don't know what people are carrying. So be kind. It doesn't hurt you to say, I'm sorry, hello, good morning, or even just give a hug. It really doesn't.
No, I definitely agree. I think people have to understand suicide is not the easy way out. It's just like any other disease. It's just something you can't see that people are carrying. Mental health is just that. So something's going on in your head, whatever is influencing you. Understand that it's heavy, it's dark. You believe that this is helping others or that it's helping you, that it's a relief, it's a release. But what we have to now do is ensure that, one, people have safe outlets before it gets to that point. So a lot of the things that you would hear come up, like I said, suicide prevention hotline is one thing, but that's when you're already there. There's some other steps before that. You spoke about grief. I'm an advocate for we need an increase, like a robust grief counseling type of push, because we don't realize how many people are walking around carrying grief. We went through COVID. We went through Dorian. We went through all these things. And for many people, they didn't get to grieve together like we normally would. They had to isolate. And so that's been happening more now than ever, where we're in our own little silos, living our lives, but carrying the weight and the pain. So we need to figure out how to have more community-based counseling sessions that would allow us to say, hey, I'm not the only one going through this.
Exactly. The Honorable Senator, there are some questions here for you. Mm-hmm. And one of them is, was there a defining moment in your life that made you realize that public service was your calling?
So interestingly, I had a conversation with my best friend from grade 6. And so she told me this story about how from the playground, I told her I was going to be prime minister one day. So supposedly, this has been...
Manifestation, honey. I can see the government house in pink and green.
That's why.
Oh, I can see it now. I can see it now.
But people tell me the stories of how I've been talking, how I've been doing. But I think for me, it really happened when I decided to run as Young Liberals chairman. For we won, a lot of people celebrated. For me, I wanted to help us do more. I wanted my party to do more. And so I came forward. I think all of that, that season of being a Young Liberals chairman, the mentors, the political influence, the insight. Also, I think coming closer to it, you could either run away or you could dig deeper. And so for me, for the past 15 years, I've been digging deeper.
You've been in this for 15 years?
In the front line, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, in this way. And so I've been digging deeper and just figuring out, okay, what more can I do? What more can I do? How much more I could give? Because I tell people all the time, I understand people don't want to do politics, but someone has to be a part of the politics. Someone has to be a part to influence, to speak up, to advocate for the change that a lot of us want to see. And so that's really why I want to be involved as much as I am.
For me, I think politics is a very dangerous game. And I think it's, in some instances, a dirty game. I look at American politics. I look at civil rights. Having gone to an HBCU, you see it from a different standpoint. And I think we operate in such tunnel vision when it comes up to politics because we have such a myopic community that people don't necessarily understand what politics truly is. Do you think that we will ever get to a point where we teach politics in school, where we have people ingrained in understanding the theoretics of what politics is?
I really hope so. I know that when I was Young Liberals chairman, one of the things the torchbearers and I both agreed on was figuring out how to get our organizations into the schools as a youth organization, making sure that people see it as tangible. Because what's important is that we not only teach it, but we give access to it. Because people can't just see politics within the capacity of election day, I mark my X, that's it. They have to see where they can find themselves. And I always tell people, politics is not just the one leader or the MP. There's branches, there's treasurers, there's secretaries. There's so many people that make up these organisms and influence the way that we make policies, that we create our manifestos and our blueprints. So I want people to not just learn about it. I want them to understand where they can get involved. And so I think part of that is advocacy at that level. I think you have to stop being afraid of it. I think we have to talk about it more and more. And I think it's making sure that we raise the bar, though. So what's going to happen now is we had elections just about less than a month ago. We had a lot of feedback on the process, the registration process, how this works, how that works. A lot of questions about civics. And it's going to die down. And then we're not going to pick this back up until 2030, right before the next election. So I think for me, and I've challenged more so our Greek community to create a voice that's not politically based, that's able to advocate for more spaces to talk about elections and civics and politics in a way that's not leaving anyone out from the conversation.
I think for me, I didn't really understand the intricacies of politics until I worked the polls or until I understood presiding officer or to understand what has to happen with the white ballot and the yellow ballot and election card. I did not understand the full gamut of what actually goes into it in terms of boundaries or in terms of actually politicizing what has to happen out in the forefront. But I want to ask you another question as well. People see you, but they don't realize that you are, in fact, a powerhouse. We don't need nobody to come into this country to tell us how to run no political campaign, DeAsante. You have done that. You have done it. You don't need anybody. You've done the production with the staging, with the lighting. You've written the processes. You've done the town hall meetings. You've studied the mechanism. You are the person that they don't know is behind the work. When are you going to step from behind that space?
Kenny, that heavy.
Yeah, but it'd have to be heavy because...
I feel like Corey sent that question in.
No.
Oh, I thought that was heavy. Okay.
No. No, Corey didn't send that question. That is a my question. That didn't even come in through the inbox. I want to know when you're going to say, hey, we don't need to bring nobody in. I got this. Let me run the show. I got this.
No, I definitely get it. I think this particular election, so in 2021, I would have coordinated one constituency's campaign. So I did that. And that was a great win. And I love the work that I was able to do. In this election, though, I was brought forward to lead our digital team. And so I'm proud of that work. And I think that a lot of times when you are good at what you do, I think the way that you become the best at what you do is that you never stop. So I was able to be in a space where that space was very much shared. I felt that more, based on where I was sitting, there was more Bahamians in the room than anything else, but I was able to learn from everyone. And so I left this space, the election space, understanding different things, understanding how I could improve. Always, like even when I'm standing on the stage, what else we could do better? What else I could do differently. I was watching different candidates and their teams and how they maneuvered and what they did differently. So I think what coming forward or not or what have you, I'm grateful that my party gave me this opportunity. And I think that the future is bright for me. But I think what is important for me to ensure that is to never stop learning. So I think my posture over the past few months was I'm going to contribute what I can, help them get where we need to go. But I'm also going to take the notes that I need to so that I could bring my best foot forward every single time.
Absolutely. And I think, too, one thing that, because I'm a communications person, I want us to look at the unseen, because there are things that are unseen that speak louder, and there are things that are untouched that speak the loudest. And I want whenever you do your postmortem, take a look at the body language. Mm-hmm. Take a look at the positioning. Mm-hmm. It is extremely important. Mm-hmm. Now, this is another question for you. This is directly from the... aside from your grandmother, who are or were some of the people or mentors that have influenced your political journey?
The list is actually very long. I tell people all the time I'm very blessed that people have poured into me in the past 15 years. And I always tell people it depends on what it is that you need from them as well.
Right.
And so for me, when I was Young Liberals chairman, Mr. Bradley Roberts was our chairman, and he was definitely
Roberts gave me my first promotion at the Ministry of Tourism.
Listen, amazing. He always spoke life. He was like, listen, you're going to run. I see it in you. And he used to give me tips and advice. All of the women, really, even going back as far as when it was just Glennis and Melanie Griffin and all of those, Hope Strawn, they would bring me in and under their wings, Allison Maynard Gibson. Like, these are women who have poured into me from the very beginning. Like, we see something in you. Even now, I think all of the female parliamentarians in their own way, we have our own little bond when we see each other. And so we share advice, we see each other, whether it's, and people take it as a small thing, but I think when we as women get into a space and we look out for each other in the smallest of ways, from fixing your hair to giving you a little nudge or reminding you or giving you a call. Like the other day, Minister Pia Roll, she asked me to represent her, and it meant so much to me for her to do that. She didn't have to. And so these opportunities are just great. Mentors for me are not just within the political space, but me as a leader. I think about even my direct reports at work, my deputy managing director, Dr. Keva Thompson. She has constantly poured into me over the past 4.5 years. Because again, it's not just about showing up as my best as a politician or in politics, but how do I show up as a better leader? How do I show a manager and supervisor? So I'm grateful for all of the people that have poured into me.
Okay. Senator, politics can be challenging, especially for women in this political landscape, in this environment that we live in. What obstacles have you faced, and how have you overcome them?
I think the main obstacle that I faced in the past, I'd speak more so in recent times, because since September, October, when we talked about the by-election, I think my political life took a speedy jump. Because I was an aspirant candidate, was coming forward more. And so I think the thing that really stuck out to me was the balance of it all. The balance of who you want to become, but also remaining who you are.
Okay.
And so one of the things is making sure that those who are around you keep you grounded. It's making sure that you don't get so lost and looking left and right. Oh, this is what this person is doing or this person. But rather staying true to who you are and your values. And so I think that's very important. The next obstacle for me is striking that balance as a woman. Being aggressive, but not too aggressive. Being loud, but not too loud. Speaking up, but, you know, for some people, that's being too much. So that constant tug and pull as a woman happens every day. Add to it the youth, when you're the youngest in the room, you know. And I think that constant tug and pull is a balance every day. And that doesn't just show up in politics. That happens in every space I take up. But it's constantly something I have to overcome.
But what is so astounding is the fact that at one point in time, somebody else was the youngest in the room. So Lyndon was the youngest in the room. He took on Goliath and he won. So being young isn't always a negative thing. I wish people would embrace us a little bit more. You said just a moment ago, as an aspiring candidate, can we look forward to you being on the ticket for 31?
Well, I'll put myself forward. I don't get to control.
Why?
I don't get to control it.
Who do I have to talk to? The historic councils and executive members?
I honor my party's process, but nonetheless, if all goes well, if whatever life takes me, but my intent is to put myself forward again.
I think where I can come where you live and I can vote for you.
Thank you.
All right? Let me know if you need me to bring a couple of cases of soda and water. I come in.
Yes.
Me and I can be right there to help
That's
you
it.
Out. There's no problem. We are going to take a very, very quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Honorable Senator Small. We are here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Your friend.
Some guys.
find you again.
Girls,
we're looking for your friend.
Surprise.
Never called you again.
Funny, all black up yesterday.
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm is all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me? I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again, how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Cancer touches far too, but hope still lives in community. Join the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group for the Hope Walk 2026 on Saturday, June 13th at 6 a.m. at Goodman's Bay. Walk alongside survivors, patients, caregivers, and families as we come together in strength, healing, and support. Enjoy community fellowship, vendors, activities, and our inspiring Hope concert immediately following the walk. Register today at gdcancersupportgroup.com. Let's take every step forward together for hope.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thinking it's a trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem, baby girl. Respect is just the minimum. When you still defending them now. Lauren is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls sell their souls because it's sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again.
Oh, good evening, ladies. Girl, you better watch out. Now, listen, ladies and gents. On Friday, we celebrate Labor Day. And, of course, the unions will all be there. And they will traverse the boulevard, as we call it. And that's where we get an opportunity to really celebrate the labors. These are the people that make our country run. That's me. That's you. That's the government. Mm-hmm. That's public servants. We are here to serve. So the grandest part of Labor Day for me is always going to be the parade. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to be misguided. The best part is the parade for me. And so maybe by 11 o'clock, the Junkanoo will start. We'll have the Valley Boys. I'm not sure which one. We will have the Saxon Superstars, the only one, and then we will have One Family to close out. Will you be there for the Labor Day Parade?
Yes, ma'am. I'll be right there.
I wish they could see your face.
Yeah, they could see it.
Yeah, they could see.
Yeah, they could hear it, if nothing else.
Dear Sante, listen, a Labor Day rush is a sweet rush.
Oh, it is.
And it I mean, aside from all the heat and the sweat, because it's going to be very warm. The rain, it rains every single Labor Day. Every single one. But tonight, I want our listening audience to understand, too, when the PLP1 their first term, the first one mm-hmm. last time, everything was at Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
And so in working it this year, I did not realize that you had to go to the Governor General, present her with the letter mm-hmm. and the credentials and all of that other stuff, and then bring her back. Is that something that we are going to carry on for the rest? When that process happened for you, what was it like to you, aside from your beautiful light blue outfit and looking very, you know, elegant? What did it feel like for you? Do you realize that you could be every little girl's dream, that shooting marble out there in the dirt or have a dolly house, like they could be a De Asante Small? Do you realize that?
Yes and no. I say no because I still haven't had this moment that everybody talks about. They were like, oh, you came in. So in December, I was like, okay, it's going to hit me. And even now, it still hasn't hit me in the way that I think people think it would. For me, it's in the moments when I do see those little girls. So when I go to the schools, when I talk to them, when I meet young women at UB and PHA, and I meet them, and they walk up to me and they say, you're De Asante. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, we're following you, and I see you, and you said this, and let me take a picture. And I'm just sitting there like, I'm just Dio. Like, you know, I'm still just Dio. And I think for me, knowing that I could show up in a space and I represent them, it means that I have a heavier responsibility. I take every moment very seriously. And so I don't fully celebrate as I should, as a lot of my friends wish I would. But I take it on as responsibility. And it keeps me calm. It keeps me grounded. It keeps me humble. It keeps me in a posture that is, even when I may be tired or whatever, I need to show up for them. And every word that I say represents them.
The amount of magnitude that you carry, the tenacity that you carry on your shoulders, is humble. Because anybody could be carried away with that because of the power that you hold. You could pick up the phone at any given time and call someone and say, "This is the Honorable De Asante H. Small. I am who I am, and I need something done, and it is done within moments. What you can do from the palm of your hand, some people will take years to do, but they don't understand that you've been indoctrinated into this, and this is who you truly are. We have a caller. Now, caller, we do not have a delay, so please let us be mindful of the conversation. Good evening, caller, you're on.
Good evening, Mrs. Rumble Pum Pum Delaville.
Hi, how are you?
And to the Honorable Senator.
Good day, sir.
Madam, I don't know if you would know me, because if you don't, my name is Julian Ferguson. If you don't know that name, welcome to the PLP. I've been there all my life. I came up through as the second vice chairman of the Young Liberals, mm-hmm. and I'm almost 60 now.
Yes, sir.
But I can tell you how long I've been around.
Yes, sir.
But I want to tell you one advice. I won't say that I was following you, but I hear your name a lot in the Senate and around the PLP. What I want you to do, go this 2 years, and going into year three, start going into the area in which you have interest. Mm-hmm. Don't let nobody put you nowhere in 6 months and 5 months and 2 months and things. Don't do that.
Yes, sir.
Make yourself known where you want to go. Ain't nobody can stop you from going where you want to go. Make yourself known. Don't wait until, you know, one of my favorite female politicians, I can call her name, mm-hmm. is Robin Lyon.
Mm-hmm.
You see what happened at the last stage? Don't allow that to happen to you. If you want to go in. If you want to go in Anderson, if you want to go in Fox Hill, if you want to go in Cat Island, if you want to go in, I'm trying to call some places where I think
Mr. Ferguson, you're giving me some heavy hitters.
No, but what I'm saying, go into your area.
Yes, sir.
And start doing your groundwork. You don't want to camp in while they have it. And then what you do, too, is you go to the member of parliament. You let them know that you have interest in this area.
Yes, sir.
And you work along with them.
Yes, sir.
You know, do that. Because I see you have a bright future.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ferguson.
You have a bright future.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you too.
You see how my callers just love you up.
I love the love.
Listen to me.
I love the love.
Listen
Kenny.
To me. Listen to me. Now, this question has already been answered in regards to what issues are you most passionate mm-hmm. about in terms of advocating for them on behalf of the Bahamian people. We've already spoken about your platform, which of course is going to be or is mental health. Mm-hmm. Now, when you think about mental health, Senator, do you think that this is something that we should start in the embryonic stages? Because we as adults carry our own set of things. Do you think that children should be in that same set? Because how our parents raised us, that world no longer exists. Correct. So we're raising children in a different space and time. Do you think that we should have mental health opportunities for children as young as first and second grade? Mm-hmm. I went to take my daughter to a facility to look at the school. And every day at 1 o'clock, or I think it's 1 o'clock, they have an opportunity to sit down and say what's good, what's bad, what's bothering them. Like they have a mental break throughout the day mm-hmm. so that they are able to regalvanize themselves and keep the momentum going. Do you think that as children, we need to have that straight across the board for everybody at schools?
Most definitely. I think, and again, there's a lot of things in terms of advocacy, but mental health education is very important. Because what you're talking about is healthy choices, not just prevention in terms of, okay, you're feeling to the extreme. You're talking about preventative steps in terms of creating healthy minds. And so what that is that's teaching about empathy. That's showing them how to be empathetic to others. It's talking about mindfulness. It's emotional intelligence. It's anger management. It's a lot of other steps that we have and that we need to ingrain in our education system. Because mental health is not biased to age. We have our children having suicidal thoughts. We have them interacting with others, having those same things. I remember being in grade 8 and hearing a class trying to commit suicide. And so while that might have been the life of my mother, she had to walk me and guide me through that. And so I only could imagine now what our children are seeing and hearing. And so I think it's easier if we start earlier. It's also important that we do that simultaneously, that we don't just teach the children, but we ingrain our PTAs and our parent association to help our parents be equipped on how to deal with mental health. And that work, even before Senate, I've been doing that work with my sorority, with our trainings at the Ridgeland Primary School, making sure that we are ingraining this information so that parents understand that you could start talking about this around your table. How do you feel today? How does this make you feel? Checking in with your children, not waiting until they get to a point. You know what parents like to say, you young, what you have to worry about?
Yeah.
When these children are carrying big feelings, big emotions, and experiencing big things. And so I think it's very important that we start as early as possible, but we look at the holistic family and how we approach that.
Okay. When you think about some of your proudest achievements, because yes, this is your second time being called to Senate, but you've been in the trenches, you know what it is. The young liberals, you've seen it. Whether it's your senatorship, whether it's maneuvering through the political landscape, what has been your greatest achievement that you can think of to date? And if it's more than one, you can give me more than one.
Okay, I'll give two.
Okay,
two come to mind. So, young liberals, I remember it was the unfortunate shooting in Fox Hill, and we were asked to, you know, send out something in support of the proposed solutions. And so as I would have, you know, with me, with my quote unquote biggity self, I decided that wasn't enough, that young people wanted more and what have you. And so I brought together the young liberals at the time, the Bahamas Army was, we brought in all the young people and we flooded Fox Hill Park. And we listed off every recommendation that we had as young people to address the concern of crime at the time. And so for me, that reminded me that even when you are supporting a party, you have a bigger calling. You have a bigger mandate by the people that you represent. So young people expected more of me. And so despite my political affiliations, I had to make a statement. I had to speak up. And so I'm always proud of that moment, because being a young woman, you could have easily said, I could just follow and, I could just toe the line. And what I learned is that your superiors respect you more. They value you more. And I think from then on, they realized who I was and what I was bringing to the table. The second thing at the moment is going to be the 2026 election. I'm very proud of the work the team did. I'm very, very proud. It exceeded my expectations. But I think just the discipline, working with 41 candidates, getting them all to, you know, one bad, one sound is not an easy task. I think they're all very tired of seeing my messages come across. But I'm very proud of the work that we did and what we were able to accomplish just less than a month ago.
Dia, there were 8 million thousand chats.
That's it.
Listen.
But yeah.
Your graphic artist is fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, we better not call her name.
Yes, we'll get right? lost.
But she is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would have been as catchy with anybody else. Yeah. She encapsulated everything perfectly. You couldn't do anything without her.
So, interestingly, and again, the work, right? We technically had 3 graphic leads.
Yes,
I don't know,
yes.
But they married themselves so well.
Yes.
And they feed off each other's, you know, creativity. And again, I'm just grateful that we just understood the assignment. And you saw that in everything that we did. We had multiple videographers, but yet our stuff still went
because
out.
There was a guideline.
Yeah.
And everybody worked in tandem.
Oh, I love a good brand discipline, you know.
Oh, man.
We love a good brand discipline.
So, listen
yes.
to me.
Yes.
I think it works well when there's one band, one sound,
yeah.
and everybody is marching to the same beat.
Yes.
You can't have strays.
No.
It makes the whole thing go off. Now, when you think about how you maneuver as a woman, as a wife, as a business owner, the best crab cakes, the best food on the eastern end of the island.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter went to your restaurant mm-hmm. for her graduation dinner for her school. And I ordered something for me
mm-hmm.
in leaving. So when we pulling off, going underneath over the bridge, you want to eat that? Yeah, I want to eat that. Didn't you eat at Oasis?
Yes, you want more.
Dear Sunday, if you give a piece of your food, I give a piece of mine.
Yeah.
And that was a no. No,
no
she,
man.
She just come from y'all eating.
Tell Nye, she got to come by Annie D again.
No. I'm gonna do something again
yes.
soon. But I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to being a woman, being in the industry, being an entrepreneur, of course, that was inbred in you from your grandmother. But how difficult is it for your work-life balance? When do you turn this phone off? How many phones do you have?
I have 3.
Jesus.
I had 4 before, like during elections, but I have 3 now.
When you can get it down to 1?
Soon. Give me 1 more month.
Okay.
I would say this. You cannot do it alone. So I have an amazing team at every step of the way. And for me, because I accept the responsibility that God has called me to more, I understand that I have to understand how to delegate and trust the people that I have around to do certain things. So whether it's at the restaurant, I have a very great team that I rely on, whether it's my personal team, just making sure that is clear and I have the support I need. And I'm also learning how to ask for help. I just have to, like, I can't do everything. What can I outsource? What can I get someone else to do for me? I think being very intentional though with self-care is important. So growing up, I didn't understand it, but now I understand my mom a lot. And so my mom was very intentional with her needing a minute. So my mom would come home and she's like, hey, just give me a minute. And she needs to unwind. She needs to decompress. And then she could be whatever I needed her to be after that. But she needed a moment. And so for me, I'm very intentional with that. So whether that's a hot shower, whether that's listening to music, whether it's a drive in my car, whatever I need to make sure that I'm okay, that is prioritized.
What does it take to get you ready? You had some bad.
Oh boy.
That little hat with
yes,
the little peak to the side.
Yes.
And the train with the, honey, you had some outfits. You were together.
Yes.
What does it take to get you together? Who what does that consist of? This
so
how long does it take?
Make sure no, how long now? So for me, again, this journey from last year I said, okay, I've been praying about it. I know that God is calling me out of the back, you know, like stop hiding in the background. And so I wanted to ensure that as a young woman, as someone who is plus size, that whenever I show up as my best. And so despite, even though my mommy, again, if you know my mom, she's very fashionable. Despite me being around all the fashionistas, I wanted to make sure I'm picking the right fabrics and colors and everything. So I invested in myself. I have my stylist, Danielle the Divine. And so she has been with me. Now, what people don't know is Danielle know me from when I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, she was the perfect choice because she's watched me become so many things through my life, from St. John's in grade six to who I am today. So I think she understood who I was and who I want to become. I also have, so a few of my suits was by Kedar Clark from Kiss Bespoke. My makeup artist is Dominic Kabuki Hepburn. That's my go-to. And there's Tara Nell of Metamorphosis Beauty Salon. So that is my team. I just let them do whatever about it.
No.
That's them. They know what I like. They know what I don't like. I also have my personal assistant now, Lakeisha Burrows. Again, a very good friend of mine. We went to high school together. She reached out to me. She kept saying, Dia, whatever you need, whatever you need. And so this year, I was like, I need help. And she's been that help. And she is a blessing, because beyond making sure that my agenda is covered, she makes sure that my day is fueled with positivity. So I'm just grateful.
She was very instrumental in making sure that I got the questions. Yes. I asked her for the photo, for our collaterals, and she was on top of things. My daughter is having a prom on mm-hmm. the 9th. And you mentioned Danielle. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Danielle. Mm-hmm. My daughter's dress, her shoes, and her bag came yes. today.
Yes.
Carrie delivered them to the beauty salon. Oh. CLX, listen to me.
I know it's a movie.
Oh, it's going to be a movie. It's going to be a movie. Listen, these are the things that we live for in life.
Yes.
These are the things that we live for. When the Governor General made the speech from the throne and she spoke about entrepreneurship, and the Prime Minister spoke about entrepreneurship, it's because of women like you in the places that you are that I am able to do this. I'm able to be a public servant and come on the radio and have my own business. And I'm grateful for the places that you stand in, so that it enables us to do the things that we want to do, mm-hmm. because you have to have a secondary income in this economy. There's no way that I could survive without it. You know, a mummy hustle was born.
Of course.
You know, it has to happen. We are going to take a back with more of the Honorable Senator here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Sweetie, Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texting.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian 0.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Hope still lives in community. Join the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group for the Hope Walk 2026 on Saturday, June 13th at 6 a.m. at Goodman's Bay. Walk alongside survivors, patients, caregivers, and families as we come together in support. Enjoy fellowship, vendors, activities, and our inspiring Hope Concert immediately following the walk. Register at gdcancersupportgroup.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need a hero. I think there was a Junkanoo group that brought that to Bay Street recently.
Listen, if y'all could see the Honorable Senator's face.
Let it breathe, Kenny.
Listen, while we were on break, right, I had two calls, and Junkanoo is happening on Friday. Mm-hmm. And we have to get ourselves in order, mm-hmm. Okay? I think I like Junkanoo a little bit.
Little bit?
Just a little touch.
Listen, I told someone, it could be loved like the way my brother loves the PLP.
You better.
And the way you love Junkanoo. That's a different type of love, Kenny.
That's a different type of love, baby.
Kenny.
That's a different type
exactly.
of love. When KG sees me, KG say, hey, Valley girl. I said, KG, mm-hmm. don't fool with me, okay?
And I showed I the word you use.
No, that ain't the word I use. But listen, fine. we have a good time, and I respect him, and he mm-hmm. respects me. We have our Junkanoo banter.
Correct.
And that's what it is. And
that's
we have a good time.
Yeah, man.
But ladies and gents, this evening we've had an opportunity to have a conversation with the Honorable Senator. And she has spoken to us about her advocacy of mental health. She's spoken to us about who she really is and the fact that this is not something that she just picked up and started to run with. She's been indoctrinated into this as long as she's been alive, the entrepreneurial spirit, owning the Bush Kakan Oasis and having a husband and working and toiling. And she's going to put herself forward in the 31 election, and we have to support her. My good Greek sister, she's not a Delta, she's an AKA, and y'all know I like me some pink and green. I mm-hmm. I be smothered
down
wearing
in it. That. As I said, that's all you do. Every time you see me, you be in pink. I love that.
You know I'm wearing pink for tomorrow's graduation,
oh, I love
right?
It.
Listen to me, I cannot wait.
That's it. I know.
I hope I hold myself together.
You will.
I have to.
You will.
I'm going to be in the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to.
Carry a hanky though.
I have two. I already. I have everything laid out. So, ladies and gents, I want you to understand that there's a woman behind the person that you see in Senate. There's a woman behind the person that you see at Oasis making sure that things are in order. Now, y'all having an event at Oasis, aren't you, on Thursday night?
Yes,
before?
My sorority are for that event.
Okay.
On Thursday at Oasis, it's Pearls and Jazz. It's a scholarship fundraiser.
Okay.
We have the Essence Band. We have Vitamin G on the saxophone. We have Errol on the DJing. So we're just going to have a fabulous night. It's $100 for the tickets. You can call Oasis or myself, 826-8996, for information on tickets. It's going to be a fabulous affair, and it's for a worthy cause. I mean, dance the night away.
I have a job that afternoon, mm-hmm. right? And so as I come down the bridge, I'm going to stop there for a
there
few moments.
Go. Come shake a leg with me.
Yeah, I'm going to have one red, though, because...
Okay,
that's all right?
That's fine.
All right, then I'm going to come in and show my face.
Good.
Because you always support me, dear Sandy, and my Mummy Hustle projects, Faith Over Fear, you've always shown up, and I appreciate that. So we're going to dive into two more questions,
yes.
and then we're going to close out. So this is one question, and then, of course, I want to ask you what legacy you want to leave behind. You mentioned Glenys Hannah Martin. Glenys Hannah Martin has the Ministry of Tourism and Aviation.
Mm-hmm. I think now.
Yes, tourism. Yeah. And I came from tourism. Mm-hmm. I still have a loftier goal one day becoming the Director General of Tourism. I want you to know, when you think of tourism and you think of our turquoise ocean and you think of our culture and our cuisine, you can't help but to say, welcome to the islands of the Bahamas. Yes. I love it. And Glenys is a woman at the head.
The first.
The very first. Mm-hmm. We've had a female director, General Vernice Joaquin, but we've never had a minister that has been female.
Correct.
Glenys has been in the trenches. She knows the mechanics.
Yes.
She can get this job done.
Yes.
Bay Street can be different.
I can't wait.
Listen. Okay. Now, what advice would you give to young women who are interested in leadership, not just politics, dear Sante? Honorable Minister, it's a senator. I say my minister, because that can come soon. That come in. What advice would you give young women who are interested in leadership, not just as, good afternoon, sir, not just as politicians, mm-hmm. but as leaders, public servants? Mm-hmm. What do you say to them?
To those young women, my message for the past few months has been very clear. Have the audacity. Have the audacity to do it, okay? I tell young women all the time, there's a mediocre man somewhere believing he could. And just because he believes it, he does it. He puts himself forward. He applies. He sends that email. He has that comment. They have the audacity. Find the audacity. Find the audacity to ask for whatever it is that you want. Have the audacity to speak up. Have the audacity to apply. A lot of times we as women, and I've seen it even in the restaurant space, when we're looking for a manager, you see women with all this experience and they try to downplay themselves. Oh, I just want to get my foot in the door. I just want bare minimum. Men, he was a server for 2 weeks and applying for restaurant manager. And they mean that. And they ask him for the big numbers. And they don't blink. But for us, we question ourselves. We ask, are we ready? Are we good enough? Is it enough? I need to do this other certification. I need to do this other degree. Baby, please. Just as you are, have the audacity to do it anyway.
Have the audacity.
Have the audacity. That's my best advice.
Have the audacity. Mm-hmm. Dear Sante, my mom always said to me, well, she calls me Kenra.
Mm-hmm.
She said, Kenra, when you go someplace, don't you sit your ass in the back of no room.
Mm-hmm.
Go straight to the front.
Like you're supposed to be there.
Mommy say, go straight to the front.
Yep.
And dear Sandy, you have to have the audacity. Mm-hmm. You have to have the confidence.
Yep.
Because these mediocre men, like, you could hardly spell rat. We could spell arithmetic.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know who our principal was? Arlene Nash Ferguson. Mm-hmm. Dear Sandy, I got kicked out of SAC, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my first day to St. John's, when we call Aline, can we get kicked out of I need some place for to go. My first day to St. Augustine's, St. John's,
mm-hmm.
I got in trouble. I would spend a year in detention in Miss Ferguson's office. So Miss Ferguson used to make me learn the dictionary. I never went out for break. I never went out for lunch. Miss Papal would send my macaroni into the office.
Mm-hmm.
So Aline molded me in a different way. Now she saw what I was,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't break me, but she guided me along mm-hmm. a different way. I think if we had women in our lives that guided us and molded us and said, listen, there's another way.
Mm-hmm.
You could say the most hurtful things, but it's how you could say, like, you really look bad, or you could say, now maybe we should try it a different way. Maybe you want to, but it's how we say things.
And I'll tell you this, and again, I tell people all the time, and I think that's why I show up the way that I do, is because so much people have done it for me. Even in this election process, there was a day, and one of my mentors, he had to call me, we were on a call, and he called me after, and he said, Tia Sante, I love your energy, but be careful how you communicate. Some people's brains don't move as fast as yours. You're already on point C, and they're still trying to figure out point A.
Right.
Just slow it down, give them a minute. And in that moment, you know, him delivering and saying this, whatever, I had to be like, Jesus, what did I do wrong? I can't take this. Well, you know, like that type of thing. But I said, you know what? He's helping me.
Yes.
He's preparing me for something else. On another call, another mentor of mine, after the call, she gave me a call and she said, hey, I remind you of something. I said, yes, mom. She said, you're in the room for a reason. Speak up. I know you want to. I know you have something to say. Speak up. Don't ever let someone make you feel like you have to second guess speaking up if you're already in the room. So again, I think the reason I show up the way that I do is because they didn't have to do that. They could have just watched me and say, well, she must know what she's doing, or ignore it or whatever. But because someone else took time out of their day to pour into me, I have to return. I have to give back. I have to give that word of advice. Show up for someone else who needed to hear it. And if you don't want to hear it, you have to hear it because you needed to elevate and to grow.
But I think it's important for us to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Listening is important. Yep. Like you said earlier, we don't know everything. We have to be in the room to learn and to absorb things from other people, and that is extremely important. But I want you to understand something, and I want you to carry this with you. There are women out there that have studied you. I go to the barbershop every Wednesday, right? Now, I had to go to the barbershop today because tomorrow is Anaya's graduation. Mm-hmm. And there were two ladies in there that saw the flyer. They said, Kenra, the girl can be on your show. I said, who girl? You mean the senator? She said, yes. She said, how do you talk to her? I said, I talk to Diasande like a regular person. I think she's larger than life. Like, I look at her and I'm just so enamored. And I say that she's a regular person. I said, and if you walk up to her and have a conversation, she will engage you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand your humility is overshadowing. And people love that about you.
Thank you.
Don't you ever give that up.
Thank you.
In the same space, you own your space, eh?
Yes, ma'am.
Don't let no one freak you out.
Yes, ma'am.
All right? And if you need us to come back you up.
I know. The army baking up.
Be riding. If you riding, I riding.
Yes, the army bake.
The army is big. So our final question for this evening, Diasante Small, Honorable Diasante H. Small, soon to be minister.
Oh.
Soon to be prime minister.
Jesus.
When you get PM, don't forget me. I won't be DG and tourism.
Kenny, you think I can let you? First of all, you think you can let me forget you?
Let's you better. You don't forget me, friend.
Don't forget that part.
Don't forget.
Okay.
What is your legacy? What do you want people, when we look through the relics of our mind and when we look through the history books, like Sir Arthur Folks and Lyndon Oscar Pinling and Glennis Hannah Martins and the Ruby Ann Darlings, what do you want to be remembered as or by Diasante?
That's a heavy question. I need to write this down after I say it to you.
Why we have a recording? But
yeah, I can remember.
Don't send it. I can bring you the recording. You.
I want to be remembered for having a relentless spirit about making space for everyone else. If nothing else I do in this life, I pray that whether it's as an entrepreneur, whether it's in politics, in leadership, I want to be someone that entered the room but didn't forget to make space, to leave the door open, to make more room at the table. And if that table was full, built another table for others to join. I want to make sure that that is who I showed up as each and every day in every space I take up. That'd be my legacy.
Chris, I want my closing song to be Summer Chanted Evening. Diasante Small, the Honorable. You think you're going for a doctorate next too?
I doubt it. So my next career or educational path is actually to do nursing. I want to go to nursing school.
Midwifery or?
Just general for right now, but be a nurse. Like, there's a whole thing about it for me.
Diasante, you could handle all of these things?
Yeah. That's my next chapter. I'm only 36, you know. So in 15 years, I could be a nurse.
I love that.
In my
for
white
you.
Shoe.
In your white hat.
White hat.
Them white gloves.
Yes.
Stiff.
Yes.
I love that for you, man. Will you work with children or what would be your specialty?
So right now in visiting, I actually have a love for the geriatric wards.
Yeah.
The older people.
I think we miss them. China has a wonderful thing where they take care of their elderly.
And
we seem to be disenfranchised by our elderly. You know, we cast them away.
Yeah.
And
a lot of people leave them. We have a lot of borders.
Yeah.
And so I could never imagine leaving Grammy in the hospital. So for me, that's really where my heart is as of late.
I love that for you.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle not so much with closing the casket for my mom, right? But I struggle with leaving her in the Catholic cemetery because I feel like once you leave them, mommy there, and you walk away, you leave. I know that sounds weird.
No.
But I just feel like you leave in them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No, I get you.
I know that that is so weird, but that's how I feel that's about fine. It. And I probably need to cut down on my grave visits. But
do it in your own time. Don't rush it.
I down.
Doing good.
I down to three down. A week.
Take your time, Kenja. Take your time.
I down to three a week. Mm-hmm. But ladies and gentlemen, you've had an opportunity to listen to the Honorable D'Asante H. Small. She has graced us with her presence. Her humility is astounding. And she walks with grace. She was able to give us a glimpse of who she really is today. A look behind the woman, behind the politics, behind the leadership. She's not just a leader. She's not just a politician. She's somebody's wife, somebody's daughter, somebody's sister. And she's somebody's friend. I thank her for being in this space and time with me. And may her river reach far and beyond. We thank you for the grace that has been abound to us by her being in studio with us. She could have been anywhere, but she has graced us with her presence. And I thank you for that, Senator. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Kenny's Corner. And tomorrow, I will celebrate another milestone in my life. My daughter graduates from Xavier's. And I will graduate with some other Roman Catholic students from St. Francis, from St. Thomas More, and they will all be at the cathedral in the morning. And so we wish them the very best that life has to offer as they begin this new chapter, as they matriculate. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Kenny's Corner, and I want to thank my wonderful husband for standing in the gap, for being there for Anai and myself, because I could not do this without him. So, Mr. Delavo, I will be home shortly. I will be home shortly.
Carry my crab cake.
Yes. Some crab cake and popcorn and some wine. Mm. So, ladies and gentlemen, put your foot over that man and let that man put his foot over you. It's another sexy Tuesday evening. Get that popcorn. Get you a bottle of wine. And be sure that when you leave your loved one, when you hang up the phone, you say, I love you, because one day it's going to be the last. You've been listening to Kenny's Corner on Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Pour all through your life, you may drink all alone. Once you have found her, there is